Revelation chapter 22. This is the last in the series of the book of Revelation. Been in there just over a year. And somebody asked me where we're going next. I have no idea. Probably during the month of December, we will do, I might do Christmas-related prophecies from the Old Testament. I might. But we'll keep you posted on that. Show up next week. I'm as excited as you are to find out what that's going to be. We're in Revelation chapter 22. Hold your finger there. And turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You get caught up in Bible prophecy, you begin to... Listen, if that's all you have, if that's your life, then you're gonna start to say some dumb things that make you look bad. It casts a shadow on God's word. It makes every preacher seem like a nut if you get caught up in seeing things that aren't there. Okay, we're in Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 9. He had spoken these things while they beheld. He was. Let's go back a little bit farther. Let's go to verse 3. To whom he showed himself alive, talking about Jesus Christ, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And when you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came inside of you to live. And He desires to empower you to be a witness, to let your light so shine that people see Jesus. But sometimes we're not interested in shining for Jesus. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So Jesus is telling them, listen, I'm going to leave you here. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You're going to have power to do the work of the ministry. And the first thing they want to know is a prophecy question. Notice what Jesus said. We're still in the New Testament church. This is the beginning. Here, very young stages of the church. Jesus Christ said to the church, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. It is not for you to know. And then he goes right back into, but ye shall receive power after that, the Holy Ghost comes. I mean, what are we supposed to be? Witnesses in Judea and Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the other, everywhere. We're just supposed to take the gospel everywhere. So they ask a question. Christ is saying, listen, I'm leaving you here to tell people about Christ. And they go, what? Is this the time? Christ says, it's not for you to know. Okay, read that with me. Are you ready? Verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Not for you to know. Father, speak to our hearts. May we be challenged by this last promise and last prayer of the book. And may we be faithful in doing what you have left us here to do. And that's tell people to flee the wrath to come. May we be motivated to do that based on our knowledge of what is yet to come and not get off track by trying to pinpoint a date or time or to say we can see something that is not for us to know. Father, may we trust you. Well, thank you for what you do. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lots of YouTube sensations out there, and I'll tell you what, if there is a love of the church people that is not of God, it is a love for YouTube preachers. What are we looking for? We are a people, our generation, 2025, we have tickling ears. We want to see things. And so here's the latest YouTube sensation. Are you ready? I know some of you are going to go home and Google this after the service. Shame on you. Shame on you. This is what it said. Now, this is a YouTube guy. I'll tell you what. Did you listen to his video? No, I didn't listen to his video. I just had to look at his title, and I know he's a nut. Just his title. And this is what it said. The Mount of Olives in Jerusalem cracks. The Zechariah prophecy begins. Wow, doesn't that send chills down your spine? Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah. What did God say? It is not for you to know. Zechariah, the prophecies begin. The prophecy begins. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14:4 is a prophecy about what Jesus Christ is going to do on the Mount of Olives. And his feet, who? Jesus Christ, shall stand in that day. What day? We'll talk about that in a second. Upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. That's when Jesus Christ, this is the second, Zechariah 14:4 is prophesying the second coming of Jesus Christ. If I die tonight, and they lay me down here in front, and I hear somebody from the Lighthouse Baptist Church congregation that mixes up the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ, I'm going to sit up and grab you around the neck. I'm just going to do it. Boy, wouldn't that be exciting? The second coming of Jesus, where are we right now? We are here in the church age, where Christ said in Acts chapter 1, it is not for you to know. End of the church age is the rapture. The rapture is not the second coming of Jesus Christ. Second coming of Jesus Christ is Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. When Jesus plants his feet on the Mount of Olives. But where are we going to be at the rapture? We're meeting the Lord in the... That is not the ground. We have 7 years of tribulation. At the end of 7 years of tribulation is Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. I don't need cracks in the Mount of Olives in 2025. And Jesus doesn't need cracks in the Mount of Olives in 2025. I couldn't care less how many cracks are in the Mount of Olives in 2025, because that has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that after the rapture and after the 7 years of tribulation, he's putting his feet on the Mount of Olives and he's splitting it. We're not talking about a little crack. The prophecy of Zechariah chapter 14:4 is not beginning. It's going to begin right there. And so people look at that. And so I go down to the bottom. Did you watch the video? No, I didn't watch the video. Well, I look at the title. I go down and read the comments. That's what I read. And everybody goes, this guy's a nut. He doesn't know his Bible. He's sensational.
This is why I don't believe preachers. Because they're always sensationalizing.
What does it do? Casts a doubt on God's Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I do not need cracks in 2025 to convince me that Jesus Christ is going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives and he's going to split it in two. And he doesn't need a crack. Can you imagine God up in heaven?
Oh! Where's that crack again? Hold on, let me find it. I got to be in the right place.
That's the God that spoke the worlds into existence. He doesn't need a crack. He does not need a crack. A crack in the real estate, read my notes, is meaningless. Jesus does not need a crack. And that event is at least 7 years away.
That's if the Lord Jesus came back tonight. And he could.
Pastor, are you saying Jesus Christ is coming back tonight because there's cracks in the Mount of Olives?
Don't make me grab you by the neck.
It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power.
You hear somebody making stuff, statements like that?
They are wacko. They are trying to... They are. What is that?
It's... Some of you are going to know what this means. It's clickbait.
And so it's get you to click on something to watch a video that has absolutely no bearing in Bible truth. Zero. Zero. None.
Where are we?
Last chapter of the Bible.
Go to Revelation 22. We're going to get there. We got two things to do to finish this off tonight. A promise and a prayer. The last promise. What is that? Surely I come quickly. Verse 12. I come quickly. My reward is with me. To give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates of the city. For without, and there is without, are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, pretty good authority, and sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches, not on YouTube, in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. We talked about the invitations last week. Last invitation is found in verse 17. Let him that heareth. Have you heard what Jesus has done on Calvary's cross? We should be saying, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. We talked about this last week. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, what's the phrase? Behold, surely I come quickly. And he said it twice in these last verses. What do you think? Maybe he was just, oh, I need a few more words in here. Angel, can you suggest something? Oh, sure. Yeah, let's say it again. No, it's not an afterthought. God put it there twice on purpose. For what? Emphasis. It's the teacher saying, class, pay attention. I'm going to come. And it's going to be quickly. It's not going to be time to prepare. Surely I come quickly. The last promise. This last promise in the book of Revelation chapter 22 is not the rapture. It's the second coming. Second coming of Jesus Christ. He plants his feet on the Mount of Olives. It's an interesting concept in God's Word, and that's praying the promises of God. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you prayed the promise of God, I come quickly, and said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly? Have you said to the Lord recently, you come tonight and that be okay with me? Not that it has to be okay with you. But you'd be okay if the Lord came back right now? I would. I'd feel bad for those that I have witnessed to that have rejected Jesus Christ. But I trust God. Worldly Christians, listen, carnal Christians, people that live for the flesh and live in the flesh, they are flesh-driven, they do not long for the return of Jesus Christ. Why? Because their life is a mess and Pastor, I got some things. Could you pray, Lord, not come back tonight because I got the things I need to fix? Really? You want me to pray contrary to the promises of God? Not going to happen. No, sir. But many fleshly, compromising, Christian, if you can put Christian in that sentence, they're never anxious or longing for the return of Jesus Christ to see their Savior. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Are you anxious? Are you anticipating? The church
should be looking for the rapture when we meet the Lord in the air. We should be. Especially as we see the degradation of the world. I'll tell you what, during the 7 years of tribulation period, those folks that are under intense persecution, they are absolutely looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're going to pray even so. So here's what we should do. Maybe I should pray some persecution in your life. I had a guy come to me. I said he was a Christian several years ago. He said, you know, preacher, I just don't see God working. I said, let's pray. He said, what? I said, no, let's pray. I'm going to pray God work in your life. I'm going to pray God work both of your legs just to get your attention. He goes, no, 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 no. He wouldn't let me pray. I wonder why. Tribulation saints, they're looking for that. We should be looking for the return. See the Lord, look in his eyes. There's a desire to hear him say, well done. And I'll tell you what, here's a promise, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, and he did, Acts chapter 1, I will come again. I will. We should be looking to that day. But today, the world is anything but interested in God. They don't want to see God. They don't want to see God in God's creation. They talk about renewable fuel. Oil is renewable. The earth just keeps producing it. You know, they don't like to talk about that. They keep going back to wells and they find out there's more oil in there. Where'd it come from? It was dry. No, God keeps filling it up. And you can't outbreed God there. You can't take you're not going to deplete God's resources. It's absolutely an amazing thing. But the world doesn't like to talk about that. Oh, no, we're going to run it dry. No, no, you're not. There is at least enough energy in God's earth for 7 years of tribulation and a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. That's a 1,007 years if the Lord would come back tonight. Preacher, are you afraid we're going to run out of resources in your lifetime? Seriously? No. Not at all whatsoever. That just annoys the world. Just annoys them. Brother Parsons, you attend Brother Parsons' Sunday school class, you'll hear him say from time to time, if evolution is true, show me a transitional fossil. Did you know transitional fossils just don't exist? Where are they? There should be a gazillion of them. You know how many there are? Zero. Because there's nothing in transition. Why? Because God said it, and it was so, and God saw that it was good. That's Genesis. Do you believe that? Yes. You believe you sprouted a tail, your ancestors did, and swung from a tree? You were some blob of protoplasm, just all of a sudden you just started breathing? My version of events are a whole lot more believable than your version of events. I just believe God. So what do you believe if you don't believe in God? Oh, there's lots of stuff in the news. Elon Musk and a Harvard professor. Harvard. Is that a community college or something? Is that like a prestigious Ivy League school? Would they be an Ivy League school? Oh,
we are Ivy Leaguers.
They can't talk about evolution anymore. Why? Because evolution doesn't make any sense. So this Harvard professor and Elon Musk, you know what they come up with? It was an alien invasion that put us here. That's the educated people. And they make fun of me for believing God said it and it was so and God saw that it was good. What a bunch of nonsense. Those guys. Much learning hath made them mad. Space aliens. So I read that this week, and I want to call Mr. Musk on the phone. Hello? I'm a little Baptist preacher in Alexandria, Virginia. Yeah. Space aliens? Really? Yeah. Yeah. I have one question for you. Yeah. Are you ready? Where do space aliens come from? Where'd the gases that came together went poof? Where'd they come from? I don't have an answer. I do. God. God said it, and it was so. and he coming. Twice he said the promise, behold, I come quickly. What did John say? Verse 20, even so, come quickly. Come tonight. Do it now. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come now. And there is a great conflict. The world doesn't want Jesus to come quickly because they don't believe in him. And that disregard for God and the things of God has made our cities uninhabitable. Mrs. Bishop and I, every year, we would make a trip up to Baltimore. We don't go to Baltimore anymore unless it's a knock on doors during the daytime. No desire to visit Baltimore. Why? Because it's a God-forsaken place. Thankful for the lights that are shining there. One of our folks was in Johns Hopkins, which is kind of in a bad part of town. It was daytime. It was, I believe, Saturday morning. I had just had surgery, and I was there at, I don't know, but it was probably 12-ish, right after visitation. I drove immediately up there, so it's noon hour, and there were prostitutes on every corner across from the hospital during the daytime. Just, man, what a dark, dark, dark place Baltimore is. Used to be a favorite destination. What about New York City? Been there. No desire to go back. How about Chicago? Went there every summer as a kid. I wouldn't walk the streets of Chicago without a bulletproof vest, heat, and backup. I said, what is it? It's a dangerous place, God forsaken. I was reading an article this week from a pastor, Baptist pastor, and he confused the terms. He said, well, the second coming of Jesus Christ is kind of like in two parts. Part of it is a rapture, and part of it is when he puts his feet... No, it's not. It's not in two parts. Two different things. 7 years apart. Don't tiptoe around it. Don't apologize for it. And he should know better. He should. Second coming will not be in two phrases. It will not be in two phases. It's going to be right there. Poof. And the world is going to be, oh, it can be too late. Too late. But when you do, see, I see cracks. It was 2008, I believe, when the vulture phenomenon hit. How many of you remember the Vulcan phenomenon of, you don't? 2008. Jesus is coming back. The vultures are gathering and they're nesting. They're having little vultures in astronomical numbers. You know, we are on the very precipice of the return of Jesus Christ. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. It's not, listen, it is not for you to know. Stop it. So where are we today, 2025? I just thought I'd read on the vultures. Several species of vultures since 2008 have gone extinct. They don't even exist. There are some that they can count on one hand the number of nesting pairs. And when you say, the vultures are increasing, Jesus Christ is coming back, makes you look like a nut. Why? Because it is not for you to know. It's not. Say, well, Pastor, what is God going to do? You really should go out to the country sometime. You really should. It was an amazing thing to me. We were, as a crow flies, we were about 30 miles away from Lake Huron. One of the five great lakes. It's over here. So we're in here, and about 30 miles that way is Lake Huron. And we get in the field, I don't know, with nine bottoms of plows behind us in the big tractor, drop that plow on the ground, and before we got to the back 40, there were seagulls I'm talking about a mass of them. Where'd they come from? 30 miles away. How do they know? I don't know. Maybe God said, hey, Bishop's plowing today. And they would fly, and they'll follow right behind the plow as it turns a corner. Why? Because that's where the best bugs are. I don't know. And you read, go read about the seagulls tonight. How do they know that the farmer is plowing? The scientists don't know. So what's going to happen if the vultures aren't producing? I think Jesus is going to go, I can't whistle like that. I don't know if they can smell the blood 100 miles away. I just believe God that the vultures are going to fly in and the birds of prey, and they're going to have a feast day on that day. And I don't need nesting vultures to help build my confidence in God's word. Why? I just want to be like John. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, it doesn't have the vultures together. Right? God's got it. Oh, the cracks aren't going to appear in the Mount of Olives till 2025. Listen, he's got it. The YouTube preachers don't. But God does. God absolutely does. Would you say Acts chapter 1 with me? It is not. Let's change it just a little bit. It is not for me to know. Will you personalize it? It is not for me to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. It is for me to believe God. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us here at Lighthouse Baptist Church to be Bible believers. We don't need to see sensationalism on YouTube. We don't need to see a slick glossy. We just need to see those words on the page. And we believe. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And those things are right here in this book. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here tonight. You do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Boy, it's hard to come to the book of Revelation, come down to the end without asking you the question, do you know Christ? Are you on your way to heaven? Say, preacher, I'm here tonight, but I don't know Jesus Christ. If Christ were to come back right now, and he could, I would be left behind in this room by myself, and you would, because I plan on meeting the Lord in the air. Would you be left behind? Preacher, pray for me. I'd be left behind. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for a moment. Father, we have been warned. Even so, come quickly. We'll praise you throughout all eternity for your salvation in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.